Hello! Welcome to another episode of The Clipper Speak. It's your host, Nikki Kay, and we've got a new month eyeing down the playoffs here. This week, we have the pleasure of welcoming in Miriam Swanson of the OC Register. She's been covering the Clippers all season long, doing a fantastic job. Miriam, hi. Happy April Fool's Day.
Hi. Happy April Fool's Day to you too, Nikki. Appreciate that.
So first of all, tell me today, you came out with a pretty fun article on one of the Clippers stars, Danilo Gallinari, and possibly a huge trouble that could be plaguing him in this upcoming offseason.
Well, it wasn't actually my story, but it was my colleague Kyle Goon sent that one to me, and then so I just passed it on to Clipper Nation. But the gist of it was that he, according to... I don't know if it was real or not real, but according to some prognosticators, would be the most eligible NBA player in LA, which would make him attractive potentially to a Kardashian, which of course would not be good news potentially. But I think you should keep in mind that it's April 1st with that one.
I agree with you there, and you know what, but there is some thought to the concept that the Kardashian curse is a legitimate thing. So right. if you put Gallo in the lineup there, that could be a dangerous.
And apparently I saw there was a link that I think was a Kim. I don't know. One of them had asked him out once upon a time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that until this morning, but there you go.
That's a fun article that we all that kept us hanging on till the very end for all the research.
Funny. Yeah. Not mine. I can't claim that one, but I enjoyed it, so I thought I would share with the Clipper Nation, as it were.
Oh, you shared it perfectly and definitely enlightened us all. Now, the Clippers, though, no joke, 47-31 after their win over Memphis last night. And, I mean, they're looking at, what, four more games in the regular season? And if they win three of those, they'll get to 50 wins for the sixth time in the past seven seasons.
Right. Just how everyone thought it happened, right? We all predicted.
Exactly. I want you to take me inside this past month, this March run where they went 13-2. They're not showing any signs of slowing down what everyone pegged them to be doing after they traded away Tobias Harris. What's this locker room been like?
That's a good way to put it, because I think, yeah, definitely it's very much about the locker room and sort of the vibe in there. And I think it starts with Pat and Lou. So Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, I think Patrick said that after the trade, he kind of went to Lou and he was like, okay, now what? You know, I mean, they traded away not only Tobias, but they brought in, I mean, it's like five new guys in the middle of the season, and they're playing so well. And, you know, what do you do with that? And I think, so I'm paraphrasing, but the concept was, we're going to, you know, play our hardest and, you know, leave everything out there and then live with the results. So, you know, do the best you can and see what happens. And they have I remember, what was it, right before the All-Star break, they had a game against a team that was kind of like a team. Who was it? I'm forgetting. But they had a team. It was a winnable game. And apparently in shoot around before the game, like Lou and Pat really made sure that everybody was going to be on point and pay attention to the details. And the All-Star game or the All-Star break doesn't start until after the game. And they came out and they took care of business. And it's kind of been that mentality since then. And it's just, they've been real pros, but they've got young guys who don't have a lot of ego. They have some really kind of real humility and who are like sort of willing to and happy to follow Pat and Lou's lead. And part of that is Pat and Lou and how they carry themselves. And they're not big ego guys. They're not superstars. They don't kind of carry all this other stuff. They're just cool, hardworking, very talented dudes. But also I think Shea is the kind of guy who's willing to listen and learn, and Landry Shamet's the guy who's willing to listen and learn. And, you know, Zubats is a guy who's willing to listen and learn, and it's a good mix.
You're right. It's the perfect recipe of not enough ego and just enough talent. And I think that will eventually pay off. It can't be anything but helpful to have your two leaders who have somewhat of a chip on their shoulder and who have had to work for everything they're given. We've heard Lou talking about his resentment to at first being kind of pegged as that sixth man, and now he embraces it. And then we all know Pat plays with a fire.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So do you do you attribute that chemistry personality wise to probably what's unlocking their success on the court as well?
Yeah, it's got to be. Every team in the NBA is super talented. I mean, you're not an NBA, NBA players are NBA players for a reason.
Yes.
and then there's, the teams with the really exceptional NBA players. But yeah, these guys and their personality and just sort of they're gritty, and they started the year saying, we're going to be that team nobody wants to play because for no other reason than we're going to play really hard and be really physical and make you work hard. And I know, after Sacramento played them for the last time, several of their players and their coach were saying, all season that these guys were a headache to play against. And it was, other teams were saying exactly what the Clippers predicted that they would. So they brought what they, meant to bring, and sort of they're doing what they can to the best of their ability and, living with results, and the results have been pretty good.
Of all the things you've seen, what surprised you the most that's unfolded throughout the course of this season?
Oh, wow. Just how well it's working, I think, right? Like, maybe how good Gallo is, potentially, too. The Clippers, quote unquote, don't have a superstar, but that guy can play. And, I think, as as Doc says that he said, people forgot how good I was, and so Doc corrects him, how good you are.
Yes.
But he's never really been healthy, and when he came in, he people thought that he would be this guy, and then of course he was never right, and I don't know that he's ever right anyway. Like, he's he has a lot of little nicks and stuff, collateral damage over the years, but he's such a smart player. He's, so versatile for his size. It's funny because before the season started, at the beginning of the season, Doc was saying he might be one of our best defenders. He's definitely our best defensive communicator. And everyone kind of was like laughing and, maybe joking that like, oh, that means they're trying to like, perhaps they want to like trade Gallo, and like that he was trying to build him up. Like, look, he can play defense, but no, in fact, Gallo can play defense, and he's
imagine that, right?
So he's a gamer. He's a baller. Like he wants the ball in crunch time. Him and Lou are dangerous. When the game is on the line. So, they're not. Gallo's not the high flying, acrobatic. Sensation. He's not LeBron. He's not any of those guys. But he can play basketball, and he's super even keel, so not much seems to bother him. I don't know. They've put something together that just seems to work.
Now, all that being said, as long as Gallo doesn't start dating a Kardashian.
Yeah. A, stay healthy, and B, stay away from the Kardashians. I think we'll be okay for a little while.
I love it. Now, the remaining four games, I can't believe there's only four more games left in the regular season, right? Yeah. And three of those are at home. We've got Houston, the Lakers, road at Golden State, and then back home for Utah. What do you see is an ideal outcome? Obviously, 3-1 puts the Clippers at 50 wins this season. What do you forecast in the final stretch here?
So part of me looks at it and says, well, okay, so the Lakers, are not having a great year, so that could be a winnable game. Utah is playing crazy well. That will matter. Mm-hmm. Warriors are the Warriors. They like playing the Clippers, and, they're still playing, so, 3-1 is difficult in these last four games.
Yes.
But then again, the Clippers kind of beat everybody in March, so why not?
Exactly. Why not is the motto, right?
Yeah.
Why the heck not?
Russell Westbrook's,
yeah.
Catchphrase, uh-huh. That's sort of how the season has worked, Like, the Clippers have no pressure on them, Like, so many teams, like the team down the hallway, has a ton of pressure on them. The Clippers kind of had no pressure on them. Like, it's all gravy. Like, whatever they do, it's just, you live with the results, and that's fine. But so it's kind of, I don't know. Well,
it's funny. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Russell Westbrook in that situation too, because the Thunder have been one team in an incredible downside.
yeah.
And the Clippers just seem to be climbing up that hill. Like you said, no pressure. It's like, all right, nobody's watching us. We're going to do what we
Yeah.
do and do it well.
And even now, I think people look at the playoffs and who the teams that are in there, and you go, okay, well, if my team was going to match up with any of those teams, there's sort of the debate, like, are the Clippers the team that nobody wants to play, or is it the team you look at? Oh, they're still just the Clippers, quote unquote. So maybe, I don't know. So we'll see.
Of the so it's probably safe to say, right, the Clippers aren't getting home court advantage, so falling somewhere in the fifth through eight seeds, most likely sixth through eight. So of the potential matchups for the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs, you're likely looking at Golden State, Denver, Portland, and the last
Utah.
one, Utah. Yes.
Or I guess
Or
Utah's
Houston.
five. Houston, sorry,
Houston.
Houston. Yeah.
Yes. What do you think would be the most ideal matchup for the Clippers, possibly pulling off a first round upset?
I guess, logic says Portland.
Yeah.
Because Portland's, hurt. It's a big they losing Nurkic is really gonna hurt them. Portland doesn't have a great playoff reputation. But the Portland's play the Clippers beat them once this year, but Portland's given the Clippers trouble all year too. I think they beat them three times. So,
Yeah.
and
But
it's
and two of those games were pretty close though, right? They came back from our yeah.
And it's and the Clippers, it's hard to contain Dame and CJ.
Yeah.
As good as Patrick Beverley is, their perimeter defense is susceptible potentially to guys like that. But then, yeah. So, but I'm just losing Nurk, and then we'll see how what great or what kind of shape CJ is in, and if the poor Trailblazers and their bad playoff
I
karma.
know. And it's kind of funny though, because I've started equating in my head, and maybe this is unfair, the Trailblazers is like the Raptors of the West when it comes to their playoff, quote unquote, potential prior to the postseason. And then they always just fall short somehow, some way, disappointment. So, and I mean, right now that's probably out of their control with injuries, even more so being the case. But I would love a Houston Clippers first round matchup. Just
Yes, there'd be so many storylines. It would be great.
yes. What would be one that, without giving away any of your potential nuggets here, what would
Oh,
be one that you would be just so intrigued to watch if the Rockets came to town for a 7-game series?
well, I mean, I guess the two most obvious ones are, I guess there's three really, but so obviously there's young Austin Rivers and Papa Rivers, so that would be fun, right? Not only, I mean, after having coached him for so long to have to meet him in the playoffs, Chris Paul
Yes.
versus, I mean, Clipper Nation, that would be super enticing.
The
Then James Harden's
tunnel.
like a local guy,
Yeah.
local ties, so. I guess there's that too. But the Chris Paul and Austin Rivers part of it would be fun.
I completely agree, and we'd have to see what measures would go towards protecting that tunnel, aka the hallway.
The quote unquote secret tunnel.
If there are any, I guess, blatant weaknesses to the Clippers game right now that you think can be shored up moving forward into the postseason, what would those be?
I think they can always get better defensively. And I think they've gotten better. The new guys have made them better defensively, but I think they're still kind of coalescing and kind of learning each other chemistry wise on that end. I think Wilson Chandler and Garrett Temple are kind of still finding their footing within
Yeah.
the unit. Especially Wilson, who I think could be a really great weapon for them and like qu quite a potent offensive threat. But he's still, he was A, came over in a trade, so a completely new situation, was hurt until just a few games ago and couldn't play. So he's really getting his wind back, kind of finding where he fits in it all. And that's happening. It's just, it's a process and, time is of the essence kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. What do you give to this whole notion of the Clippers by committee concept? I know we kind of touched upon it earlier, but like maybe the guys on this roster are just actually better than what we all attribute to them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, that's what I think the guys in Memphis were saying yesterday. It was like, yeah, yeah, they're like a group that gets along, and they're like a good squad in that respect, and they've got a lot of pieces and all that stuff, but they're actually good players. So it's possible that yeah, yeah. So it's more than just, you know, the rah-rah go team thing. And yeah, I think Lou and Gallo and Montrezl Harrell's, you know, absolutely a beast, and he's just kind of gotten the opportunity to show it this year. You know, I mean, in limited play last year, he put up really good numbers for the moments he had, and now they let him go, and he's come through. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the point guard, has been playing better and better of late, and he said that the game is slowing down for him. So you can kind of see that out there. So that's kind of fun and promising for them. Landry Shamet can shoot with anybody. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Zubats is he's fun to watch, and he works real hard and goes for it no matter what. But he's kind of hit and miss. So he's got, you know, hand issues. So he's kind of working on that. But as far as them, as far as like their, is it talent or is it team, that kind of thing? Or I don't know. It's,
yeah.
It's both.
Yeah. Who is it? I guess you would want it to be team, being what I always butcher this saying, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I got it right.
Yeah, good
there. Job. Okay. But that, you know, that kind of seems to be some sort of effect here in Clippers land. And I guess looking forward at Houston coming to town on Wednesday, what, these teams haven't faced off since October?
Oh, gosh.
It's been a while, right?
Has it been that long? I have to look it up. I can look it up.
Early. I don't, you know, and.
It's been a while. Was it October, though? Let's see. Last time they played Houston. Sorry.
Because then they both look wildly different in that case.
I remember seeing them. And was it that long? Yeah, the season goes fast.
Yes, I know, right? Yeah. Here we are, four games left.
So, yeah, October 21st. Was that the last time they... Because they played them, like, twice in the first week, I feel like. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, right. Yeah, it's been a while. And obviously, Clippers look incredibly different. How do you recall the Trez Capella matchup panning out?
I think Trez had really good games against Houston so far this year. I think he was it. There's the second time they met.
I think it was October 21st. Was the last time they played?
Let's see. It's possible. I know that Trez. Okay, so and I think their second meeting. What did Trez? Trez went crazy. He had maybe not crazy, but he. What was it? It was like a game where you're like, whoa, yeah, he had 30 points in 27 minutes. And I remember that being the game where I was like, oh, look at this Harrell guy. You know,
yeah. Just how really... we felt about every other player on the Clippers roster at some point through.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, basically. But I remember that was like the moment where I was like, this guy can play basketball pretty well. I think as far as that matchup goes, I mean, it's a good one. Part of it is also Trez coming off the bench, so he doesn't get all of Capella, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's able to run a little bit free at some points.
Yeah.
From your experience covering the league, do you know it, or have you kind of gotten the sense that coaches at this point in the season, when you're playing these late matchups against someone who you very well could face in the first round, second round of the playoffs, do they hold things back?
I'm curious to see. I mean,
yeah.
Doc famously says that they just do what they do no matter what, and no matter who they're playing, and no matter the day. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what else are you going to say?
Coach speak for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it will be interesting to see the next couple. I mean, between, yeah, Houston and Utah potentially, you know, and kind of what they do in those two games. Because they want to win, so they got to run what they run.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to show all your cards, you probably shouldn't.
What will you be looking for particularly in these games to see if they could be markers of the Clippers' success should they be playing them in the playoffs?
I guess I'm sort of interested to see how. Well, one thing Doc mentioned that yesterday that's sort of interesting is that we could see more of like a Jermichael and Gallo playing with each other into like a four
Interesting.
and five thing, and so I'm interested to see if they throw that out there and give us some of that and what that looks like. Like I said, interested to see Wilson's continued kind of finding his groove.
Yeah.
But as far as what they're doing, getting ready. I'm always interested to see how Shai reacts to
Yeah,
things.
his
He's,
consistency wise play.
yeah. Like as it gets closer to playoffs, like is it continue to slow down for him, or all of a sudden does the pressure start to, ramp up a little bit, and does that affect him at all? Like it never seems to, but he's human and he's 20, so we'll see. I don't know. Also, like lots of little things.
Yes. Do you and I've read a couple of times the comparisons before about Shai being kind of like a taller Chris Paul or a lengthier Chris Paul. What credence would you give that comparison?
I don't know. They seem to have very different personalities. I don't know Chris Paul at all.
Yeah.
But Shai is like a really kind of quiet, laid back, like eyes wide open, ears wide open, kind of. He's not, I
Yeah.
Chris Paul like sort of feels like a Rondo kind of like type A personality. Like, let me, even if I don't know, I'm gonna tell you how it is,
Oh, he's
because
a fire starter for
right.
sure.
Whereas Shai is like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Let me go do it.
That's how it goes. Yes.
For now, anyway,
Yeah. Yeah, for now.
and I think that's and Doc has talked about, having to like get on Shai about telling other guys no. They'll be running a play and Shai will know the play and they'll insist on something else. And Doc's like, no, you're the point guard. You tell them what the play is,
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I don't, in that regard, not so much. I think there's been a lot of comparisons with the Shai and Sean Livingston, former Clipper, right?
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
A lot of
Okay.
nice body type too, but, I don't know. Shai's like a really interesting player. Cause he is so long and he's so talented and he can go downhill with anybody. But he's like really learning how to use those assets,
Yes.
So it's kind of cool.
And I would. It's funny for all the consistency struggles he's been plagued with as a rookie, right? I wouldn't attribute that to waning confidence or
No.
frustration. It's just, right, like you said, the game slowing down and doing so on a regular basis.
So yeah, it's been fun to watch him develop and him and Sam Cassell are having a good time out there. Every time you see them working together, they just, Shai's got a big grin on his face. Shai usually has a big grin on his face, so that's kind of cool.
And I think that's kind of emblematic of the whole Clippers vibe right now in general, right? That franchise is just cheesing from ear to ear.
Absolutely, right? He's the perfect age for it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Miriam, thank you so much for hopping on. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone listening where they can find your work, follow you on Instagram or social media, give them all the handles.
Okay, so I guess come visit at ocregister.com
Great work.
slash Clippers or slash Miriam Swanson, because I also write a lot of Lakers stuff and some Sparks stuff and every now and then some other random baseball stuff. But anyway, and then otherwise Instagram and Twitter is the same. It's just at my name, Miriam, Mirjam Swanson. I don't know. I'm just having fun telling basketball stories. So
And
come.
telling them excellently at
Ha.
that. Miriam, thanks again. Once again, for everyone listening, like, comment, and subscribe. You can find this podcast wherever you get your pods at or at clnsmedia.com.